With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's Carl Gunnarsson on the ice. Now to Pietrangelo with time. Wires the shot on. Rebound, they score! Ryan O'Reilly! Out of midair, swats it home. And the Blues take the lead again.
Being disciplined, I think, really helped us kind of find a rhythm, which just as, you know, we kind of roll the lines a bit and kind of, you know, use that momentum with it, with each other, I guess, to kind of keep building off it. And as you see, as the game got on, we were wearing them down, and we're kind of rolling shift after shift.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Shift after shift, Ryan O'Reilly said. A pair of offensive rebounds for the first goal of the game and the game-winning goal in the third period. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. The voice of Chris Kerber with that iconic call and the first ever Stanley Cup final win for the Blues at home. And we're excited to have Chris join us now. And really, there's a lot of words you could use, but I felt like thrashed was appropriate after game number three. That was their first Stanley Cup final game at home in this series, and it couldn't have gone much worse. But how did you see the Blues respond in game four, Chris?
Amy, they have responded the same way that they have responded pretty much since January, and that is just with a resolve. Craig Berube was asked at the Blues head coach this morning about the mood in the locker room, and he just described it as a calm, the same way it was after game one when Boston won game one in Boston. And look, if you're fans of a team, you ride the highs, you ride the lows, you get a win, you feel, oh, we can win the cup, there's a loss, oh my gosh, we're dead in the water, until you get around this hockey team. And when you get around this group of guys, a veteran group of guys with a mix of some younger guys, you're going, they're not bothered by anything right now. Like, they're walking around this like this is game, 60 of the regular season, and they got this. And they just have a confidence that they can bring their game. And my goodness, did they do that tonight.
Where do they get that from?
I think they get it from their head coach. Craig Berube has been a no-nonsense, straightforward, it-is-what-it-is kind of head coach. You can get roasted by a call like they did Gary Bettman even described in his commissioner's press conference before the final, when he was asked about the hand pass game in game three between the Blues and the Sharks in the third round. What did you think when you saw that? And he said it took everything. Gary Bettman's quote was, it took everything to keep my head from exploding, because he knew it was a bad play that allowed a game-winning goal in overtime. And yet Craig Berube walked into the room right after the game and said, guys, no need to even talk about that call with the media. You'll just look like sore losers anyway. We got a game four to win. And then the St. Louis Blues went on to win the next three games, allowing just two goals over those three games. The calls have been tight here in the final. And he just walks into the room. He says, hey, we got to play better. Stay out of the penalty box, guys. Like, there's just a no-excuse approach to Craig Berube that this team has bought into. And he, along with the goaltender Jordan Binnington, have basically just brought a flatline attitude to this team that's been amazing.
There are times when the Bruins cannot seem to get the puck out of their zone. Now, they're very talented. That top line, I mean, they go four lines deep. We know what Tuukka Rask can do. But there are stretches where the Blues seem to clog those passing lanes, and they just kind of smother the Bruins. When they are going through those stretches where they're dominating the puck, what does that look like?
It looks exactly like the way you just described it. They're so hard on the forecheck. They're close together. When you look at a television shot at that point in time, when you're seeing four or five, they call it four or five guys in the picture. When you see four or five guys in the picture, that means that they've got support. So even though the one guy pressures the puck, if it gets chipped past him, there's another layer of support right there to make the play. And that's exactly what they did in the game tonight. It's how they won game two. It is what they did not do in games one and three, and one of the big reasons that they lost those games. 5-on-5 hockey, I think the St. Louis Blues are the best team in the playoffs this season. They've proven it to be the case. special teams against the Boston Bruins here in the final. It's really hurt them. But 5-on-5, they took it to the Winnipeg Jets, the Dallas Stars, the San Jose Sharks. And that is the style of play that they've got to go. They've got they come in layers. They come in waves. They had a shift of about 90 seconds in the offensive zone in the second period today. It was one of their best shifts of the period. They made two separate line changes while they still possessed it. And what happens is when you put that kind of pressure on a team, and I don't care what team it is in the NHL, you put that kind of pressure on a team, they're going to start turning the puck over because they start to get tired on the ice. When a shift gets extended from 35 to 45 and then upwards of a minute, and you get caught out on the ice, you make physical mistakes, and the Blues were able to capitalize on that.
Chris Kerber is the play-by-play voice on the St. Louis Blues Radio Network with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Fresh off Game 4, tie series yet again. That resiliency for the Blues is showing up. So I've gotten the whole story behind Gloria. It's my new favorite theme song in sports, only because it's one of the songs I grew up with. I loved that song when I was a kid.
Sure. Yep.
But what's it been like to have the Stanley Cup final back in St. Louis after all these years? How are the fans responding?
Amy, the fans are responding amazingly. So the St. Louis Blues, when they came into the league as an expansion team in 1967, you had the original 6-1 division, you had the expansion teams in another division, and then they played, and one of those expansion teams was going to go to the Stanley Cup final. If you really think about it, as small as the league was, it was actually an extraordinarily brilliant marketing plan to make sure that one of those teams played for the Stanley Cup, and rather than just totally get dominated by an original 6 team. Well, it's been since 1970 since the Blues have been back in the final, and there's been a handful of times they've been close. The amount of times this franchise has dealt with heartache, like the double overtime goal from Steve Yzerman that, you know, went in over John Casey's shoulder and things along those kind of lines when they've been close and just hasn't gotten there. Well, this team was able to get it there. And when they put Bobby Plager, who is an original Blue, up on the video board, kind of did the pump video for the Blues heading into the finals here, and the place was as loud as I have ever heard it. And the city is going bonkers. The town is nuts. Everybody is wearing blue. There's Let's Go Blues chants in the middle of a Cardinals game. You're at a concert at Verizon Amphitheater, and everybody's in blues gear chanting Let's Go Blues. They have captured the city once again. And this really, it not only is a great sports town, but it is a true hockey town. It is an educated hockey town. And, you know, 3 summers ago, we had 5 players born and raised in St. Louis, drafted in the first round of the NHL draft. And think about that. You may not have 5 Russians drafted in the first round. There were 5 players from the city of St. Louis drafted in the first round that are becoming impact players for the Ottawa Senators and the Calgary Flames and the Minnesota Wild and the Arizona Coyotes. I mean, it really is something special. And what this team is experiencing right now with this city is just continues an amazingly personal bond that they have with the town.
So then St. Louis is over the Rams?
Oh, man. Listen, that's a fantastic question, actually. Listen, when the Blues play the Colorado Avalanche, you still get terrific chance of Kroenke sucks. And it should be that way. When Stan Kroenke and Kevin Demoff left town, they left amidst a bunch of lies that they kept telling. The National Hockey League totally deceived the city of St. Louis. Their commissioner was telling, the city, you're doing all the right stuff. They had a great stadium proposal. They never thought that the city of St. Louis would step up with a stadium proposal, and they did. And all of a sudden, it took Jerry Jones to tell everybody, no, we got to do this anyway, and let Stan move the team, which was his plan from the moment he took over after Giorgio Frontieri passed away. And they left a whole bunch of burnt turf. I mean, they didn't just move the franchise. Like, the stuff they said about the city and the viability of a team in this town and stuff, it was such baloney and such, horrible lies about how they did it, that the Cardinals and the St. Louis Blues got together, and they had a puck drop at center ice right after the Rams left. And the cheer that Bill DeWitt got along with Tom Stillman was amazing. Mm. And these two teams have created an amazing atmosphere called One Nation here in town, which is just about the city and what they're doing. And what our ownership here, led by Tom Stillman and all local ownership group has done, has made it all about the city and all about the community and all about connecting with this area, this region. And for this team so they brought the Winter Classic into town. We have the All-Star game here next year as well. You've got the Stanley Cup final here. It really has been something special and recaptured it. So are they over the Rams? I wouldn't say that. But I can tell you one thing, the St. Louis Blues have proven once again why they're worthy of the loyalty that's been part of them for 50 years.
Well, you know, when you get dumped, the best way to get over it is to find a new love.
That's right. But the good news is we didn't have to have a rebound affair.
That's right.
We were just able to go right back into it to someone that's been in your backyard the whole time. You just had to reintroduce yourself to your neighbor.
Chris Kerber from the Blues Radio Network in St. Louis after game four. We're now tied in the Stanley Cup final, so it's best of three. Going back to that early week, that first week in January, when this team literally had the worst record in the NHL, who's been the MVP? You can't say the coach again. So who's been the MVP of the team since then?
Okay, since then, the MVP of the team, without a shred of doubt, has been Jordan Binnington. Here's a terrific story, if you got a second on this. At the beginning of the year, Jordan Binnington, a 25-year-old goaltender, was actually fourth on the Blues depth chart when it came to goaltending. Okay, so here in town, they had Jake Allen. Then they had signed Chad Johnson. They had Billy Husso as the number three guy, and Jordan Binnington as the number four guy.
Mm.
Because the Blues did not have a solid American Hockey League affiliate a year ago, they actually were going to send Jordan Binnington back down to the East Coast Hockey League. He said, no, I'm not going. So they cut a deal. They had to get David Andrews, who's about to retire as the commissioner of the American Hockey League, and a Hall of Fame career, in my opinion, for David Andrews. And they basically had to get the league involved, and they were allowed to put a transfer to Providence. Well, Jordan Binnington became an all-star with the Providence Bruins. Ironically, last year, Jordan Binnington was playing goal for the AAA farm team, essentially, of the Boston Bruins. Well, he comes in this year, and the Blues are struggling. They put Chad Johnson on waivers, you know, and here they go. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do with their goaltending. Well, in January, because Billy Husso was hurt, they call up Jordan Binnington. And he started a game in Philadelphia, which is traditionally, over the years since day one, been a hard place for the Blues to play. He shuts out the Flyers 3-0. He backstops the Blues to rookie records, helps them win 11 consecutive games. At this point in time, only Ron Hextall, who in, I think it was 1987, played 26 games as a rookie goaltender. Only Ron Hextall has started more Stanley Cup playoff games in a single playoff season than Jordan Binnington.
Wow.
And he's gone on a run. So I think season-wise, I have to say that Ryan O'Reilly, because his consistency from day one to now, still has earned the MVP season-long for the team. But since January, when the turnaround, this turnaround is every bit as much about the confidence and flatline ability of Jordan Binnington.
Mm.
And he got asked after a big game by Jim Thomas of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He looked and he said, hey, you know, do you ever get nervous out there? Like, this was a big game. You guys got to win. And he deadpanned. He looked over and he says, do I look nervous? Jim Thomas said no. And he goes, well, there's your answer. And that attitude of, do I look nervous? There's shirts around town. People, you walk down the street, somebody goes, do I look nervous? I mean, it just took over this town. It's been unbelievable. It's really special.
Well, I guess it's a tribute to the coach, the leadership that you were talking about, that both of those guys, O'Reilly and Binnington, had tough game threes and ended up bouncing back in huge performances in game number four. All right, you can find Chris on Twitter at Chris Kerber. He's that play-by-play voice that you hear on the St. Louis Blues Radio Network right now, part of the Stanley Cup Final, tied at two. Chris, thank you so much for a couple of minutes. Great to talk to you.
Amy, my pleasure. We'll talk hockey anytime with you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.